Just a short reflection on our theme today. In his letter to the Philippians, a passage that I quoted at the beginning of our service, Paul says something mysterious and disturbing. He says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings." As we hear those words, I'm guessing that, like me, you find yourself applauding the sentiment of the first part of that sentence. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. After all, isn't that why we're here? In some dim, opaque way, we want to stumble after the one who is the life giver. We may not completely understand the depth of it, who could? But we come here this morning hungering after that bread of life, thirsting after that living water, seeking that life that conquers death, that light which illuminates the darkest place, that hope which defies the call to give in and give up. All of that we can understand, because deep within us there is a need for renewal, for refreshment, for recreation. We want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. But what about the next phrase? What about this other thing that Paul wants to know? I want to know Christ and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to know Christ and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. How are we to subscribe to this? Is this some kind of sanctified masochism? Are we to imitate the likes of the flagellants who in the Middle Ages sought to emulate Christ's sufferings by lacerating themselves repeatedly? In the coming week, young men in the Philippines will have themselves literally crucified in order to enter into the sufferings of Christ, I imagine. Is that what Paul intends? You may be able to tell that I consider this a rhetorical question. While there is a strong tradition of literally following in the way of Christ, to my mind, there's a fundamental misunderstanding of the grace and mercy of God if we see it as beneficial to go down the road of self-harm. And neither can this fellowship of sharing Christ's sufferings be about torturing ourselves mentally or emotionally. The temptation to dwell upon one's sins can lead to a desperate and disturbing self-absorption, which instead of being a liberating experience, turns into a kind of Kafkaesque nightmare, a prison of one's own making. The fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings can mean neither a physical or emotional self-harming. It cannot be a sanctified masochism. So what does St. Paul mean? Well, paradoxically for Paul, the reality was that as an apostle, he did in fact receive various beatings and whippings and other physical dangers. He lists them in his second letter to the Corinthians, claiming to have been flogged 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times, and stoned once. For Paul, there is a clear and obvious identification with Christ's sufferings. But when he uses that expression, what does that mean for us? How does that apply to us? Take your palm cross for a moment and just have a wee look at it. Just hold it. What you hold in your hand is a way into sharing Christ's sufferings. The palm cross signifies the highest point and the lowest point of the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. It's a symbol of both triumph and disaster, of glory and humiliation. It encapsulates the fullness and emptiness of Christ's experience. And in this small token, we are drawn in to that glorious fall, that triumphal march to the place of execution. The Palm Cross shows to us that this event, this drama, this gospel story that we've recounted once again is part of your story and mine. For each of us in our own way, recognize our own greatness, our own weakness. Each of us experience our own triumphs, our own disasters. Look at this cross as a mirror to reflect upon your soul, both the great goodness of which you are capable and the evil of which you are capable. Because we don't simply identify Christ with this cross, we identify ourselves with it. We who in our weakness bring Christ to his cross daily, we who in our liberation see this cross as empty and that death, our death, is defeated. It's this which, for me, offers us the tiniest glimpse of sharing the sufferings of Christ. The same Paul who wrote, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the sharing of his sufferings," also wrote, "May I never boast on any grounds but those of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world." What you hold in your hand is all you can boast about. For what you hold in your hand puts you at the heart of God's heart, at the center of God's extraordinary loving attention. What you hold in your hand places your hand in the hand of Christ, who this week surrenders his hands, his feet, his very self for you. And if you choose to walk with him along this path, then you will indeed be sharing in his sufferings.